My faith and the support of my extended faith family, people whom I knew who were literally praying for me in prayer chains, who were prayer warriors for me, and people whom I didn't know, who I would meet or get a letter from, sustained me through a very difficult time.
Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., live this Sunday night, June the 10th, from Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. Day one of the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour in Chicago. We're going to hear how prayer helped Hillary Clinton through a very difficult time. Well, she says that prayer sustained her. What is the place of prayer in the Christian life? Is prayer a two-way communication, a conversation between you and God? You talk, and then you wait and sit silently for God to answer. Now, even though we're on the road, we can still take your phone calls and your email. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is the same as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, listeners with the best questions or comments tonight will receive the book, Prayer, Is God Listening?, authored by our guest, Dr. Andrew Steinman. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours at Bethany Lutheran Church. It's 1550 Modaf Road in Naperville. Come out and join us, or join us tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest tonight to talk about prayer. He's a regular guest on the program, professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of this book, Prayer, Is God Listening? Dr. Steinman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Nice to be back, Todd.
Is prayer that two-way conversation? I talk to God, and then I sit silently and wait with my own thoughts for God to answer me, to hear that voice speaking within that is the answer to my prayers.
No, that's not the way the scriptures outline what prayer is. Instead, the scriptures consistently show us what prayer does is draw us back to God and His Word. And He gives us His message through His Holy Word. And so, Christian prayer focuses on the promises of God in the scriptures, and prayer draws us back to the scriptures to find God's communication to us through His prophets and apostles.
So that really means that at least the order of that communication is actually reversed. First, God speaks to us in His Word in Scripture, and then we make our petitions in prayer, and then it continues. He answers in Scripture. But God actually initiates this. If you want to think of it as a conversation, He initiates it.
That's right. God initiates it, and that's the way it always is. God initiates His action toward us, and then as we come to trust His promises, we then come to Him. And that's always the cycle, where God initiates, we respond. Otherwise, Christian prayer would not be Christian prayer. That's a view of prayer where we initiate it in order to get God to respond is actually a non-Christian view, a pagan view of prayer.
Let's talk more about that in a minute. What is the most important Bible passage, in your opinion, regarding Christian prayer?
I think it is Jesus' instruction on prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. There it sums up the important things about prayer and focuses us in on the things that we really need to bring to God's throne. And the Lord's Prayer, I think, becomes not only a paradigm prayer to pray, but also instruction on the type of things that we need to concentrate on when we pray.
So if you could summarize it, what does Jesus want to teach us about prayer?
He wants to teach us that we have a Heavenly Father who's given us promises, and we, through those promises, can receive God's gifts. And those promises center, of course, on Jesus and His cross.
Let's deal with some popular ideas about prayer. I think a lot of people have these ideas, but they're also popular among Christians. Is God more likely to answer my prayer
if I can get 5 people or 10, or if I'm really popular, maybe 100 people to pray with me. Is there power in numbers when it comes to whether or not God is going to answer my prayer?
From the respect of whether God answers your prayer, no. There's not that, because God promises to hear prayer, whether it's 1 or 2 or 1,000. And the point of having many people pray together is not for God's benefit, as if God is not some man sitting in his easy chair in his home, and if more people call on the phone, he's more likely to get up because he's annoyed, or something like that. Or that if more people knock on his door, he's going to pay more attention. Rather, God is already paying attention. God is ready for our prayer. Now, I'm not discouraging a lot of people for praying for things. Jesus invites us to pray. He commands us to pray. And so we ought to pray, and we ought to pray together, and we ought to pray frequently. But we ought not to think that because there's more of us praying, that God is more attentive. Because God promises even to hear a single Christian who prays.
Why does God promise to listen and to answer a Christian's prayer?
Because of Jesus Christ. The answer is always because of Jesus, God promises. God, who sent his Son into the world to die for us, therefore also wants to give us all good things through Christ. And the Father, who loved us enough to sacrifice his very Son, therefore wants us to bring all our concerns and cares to him, and he promises to hear. He's ready to hear because he was ready to do that magnificent thing for us through the cross of his Son, even when we weren't ready to pray. And so, again, it gets back to God is willing to listen because God first took the initiative in Jesus Christ.
Another popular idea regarding prayer, if, you know, some Christians pray from books or from old memorized prayers, and other Christians say, well, it works better if it comes from the heart. They might even go so far as to say that extemporaneous prayer, that we can sometimes say ex cordate prayer, out of the heart prayer, is more spirit-filled than if you pray from a book or a memorized prayer. How do you respond?
I think we have to be careful not to dictate how people pray. Some people can pray very heartfelt prayers out of a book. Just because you're praying out of a book doesn't mean that it's not heartfelt. And at the same time, if you took a lot of pride in your ability to pray extemporaneously, if it's your pride that's there with your prayer, then you're not praying in faith either. So, you know, you could be wrong either way, or you could be right either way. And so praying ex corde prayers from the heart, that's fine. Praying prayers that you've memorized, prayers out of a book, that is fine too. The determining factor is not where the prayer comes from. The determining factor is, again, the promises of God. And the person who's focusing on the promises of God in the Scriptures has that promise that God will hear their prayer.
It was probably, and we'll have about 30 seconds for a response to this before we need to go to a break. It's about 3-4 weeks ago, I got a phone call and an email from a listener who said, I know God promises to hear my prayer. I know he listens for Christ's sake. But God has shut his ears. I ask and I ask and I ask, and it seems like there's no answer forthcoming. What do you say to someone who says, I pray, but God isn't listening?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there are many psalms, especially in the first part of the book of Psalms, that talk about people who had that same experience. It's not that God isn't listening. Instead, it's that when we pray and we feel that God isn't answering, we're not focusing on his promises in his word. The problem is not with God not answering. It's us not hearing the answer because we're not focusing on where he gives the answer, the Scriptures and the promises of his word. And that's hard for us sometimes to realize. And in my own prayer life, I've had that. It doesn't seem like God is listening. And then I search the Scriptures and I realize, oh, he answered my prayer. It just wasn't the answer I was looking for, and so it went right past me.
You just didn't catch it. He was pitching them, but you weren't catching
them.
That's
right.
It's Sunday night, June the 10th. Issues, Etc. is coming to you live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. We'd like to hear from you on the subject of prayer. Why do you pray? What do you pray for? When you hear the topic prayer, do you automatically feel a twinge of guilt because you don't pray as much as you should or as often as you ought to? 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back.
Go, my children, with my blessing. It's one of the many songs on a new recording titled The Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group. Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie teamed with the girls' choir in South Africa to produce this new CD. And proceeds from this recording will benefit the Temba Trust, a nonprofit foundation that operates a girls' school and other educational and youth programs that serve South Africa's rural poor. For more information on the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. For a $25 donation to LCMS World Relief, you can get a CD with great music and also help South African children. Issuesetc.org, the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about prayer tonight with Dr. Andrew Steinman. It's a subject that does strike guilt in the heart of a lot of Christians. When they hear the word prayer or they hear about a Bible class on prayer, they say to themselves, you know, I probably need that, but it makes me feel so guilty given the state of my prayer life, or at least what I think my prayer life ought to be. How would you respond to somebody who says, prayer for me is largely a subject of guilt?
Well, I suppose there is a certain measure of guilt because we have those commands in the Bible that tell us to pray, and we know we've fallen short. At the same time, the way to handle that guilt is not to run away from prayer, but to run to the cross where our guilt is taken away and where our Heavenly Father says, through Jesus Christ, your sins are taken away, you can still come to me in prayer. And so the answer to that guilt feeling is to lay it at the foot of the cross, trust that Jesus died for the times when we failed to pray when we ought, and then once again to grab onto the promise of God to hear us for the sake of His Son.
What do you want to say when you hear Christians talking about the power of prayer? It's a very common term. It's a very common idea. What do you want to say when you hear that phrase?
I want to say you're focusing the power on the wrong place. The power is in the Word of God and His promises. The power is not in our effort of prayer. And usually when that phrase, the power of prayer, comes up, it sounds as if we put enough into it that we generate the power. But our power is nothing compared to God's power. And His power is communicated to us in His promises, in His Word. And that's why he gave us his holy word. The prayer life of a Christian is not there for us to stir up our power, but rather to, again, bring us to God so that we can once again focus on his promises. In fact, many times I find the most powerful prayers are the ones where we sit down with Scripture and focus on the promises, specific promises in Scripture, and pray about them, because then we are focusing on the promises of God, where the power of God is. And it's the power of that which then animates our prayers to God and then opens our eyes to see his answers as they play out in our lives through the Word of God.
What about the notion of persistence? And, well, let's start with persistence, and then we'll talk about sincerity. There's a passage of Scripture, in fact, it's a parable that Jesus tells about a woman who goes to a magistrate who doesn't at first want to listen to her, but she's persistent. And eventually, he gives in and grants her request. And many Christians hear this parable and they say, Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent in prayer. And so it seems as though if we're less persistent, we'll be less likely to be answered. If we're more persistent, we'll be more likely to be answered.
Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent, but that next conclusion, that somehow if I'm more persistent, Jesus will listen to me more, is not true. For instance, there are passages in the Bible where somebody prayed persistently and got an answer, and other passages where they prayed once and got an answer. So it wasn't the persistence in and of itself. Why does Jesus say to be persistent? Because, again, prayer is intended to draw us back and focus on God and his promises in Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to be persistent, so we're drawn back to his Son. And his encouragement to be persistent is not so that by our persistence we'll be more likely to have our prayers answered, but instead by our persistence we're more likely to see the power of God in Jesus Christ and his cross and resurrection.
On the other end of the spectrum from that, I remember distinctly, I was probably a teenager, I was at some sort of a Christian concert, and the musician, who probably should have stuck to singing, was opining in between songs, and he was talking about prayer, and he said, to really pray in faith is to ask God, and if you're really praying in faith, you only need to ask once. And if you have to pray any more than that, you're not praying in faith. How would you respond to that?
Well, Jesus does give us examples of people that pray over and over again, and that is a good thing, too. So the idea that you only have to ask once seems to fly in the face of Scripture. Jesus, for instance, teaches us to pray. He says to his disciples, pray like this, and then he gives them the Lord's Prayer. Well, if he meant for them to only pray that prayer once, that passage loses a lot of its steam right there.
Even Jesus prayed repeatedly. I'm thinking here about Gethsemane, where he went at least three times away and said the same prayer each time.
That's right. And it's interesting there, and I think this is where a lot of people, to get back, kind of to tie this back to what you talked about before, a lot of people think, well, if I pray persistently, I eventually get what I want out of prayer. Well, what Jesus wanted at that moment was the cup being taken away from him, and he didn't get it, even though he was persistent in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though he was struggling in prayer, and we're told his sweat dripped off of him like drops of blood, and yet he didn't get what he wanted, in a sense, although, of course, ultimately he wanted his Father's will and was willing to do his Father's will to be our Savior. But I think a lot of times people think, if I'm persistent, I'll get what I want. God promises us what we need. He never promises us what we want. And those are two vastly different things at times. The point of Christian prayer is to draw our wants to be parallel to our needs in Jesus Christ.
Let's start the conversation on sincerity. 1 minute. If I'm really sincere, heartfelt, I mean it, God has to listen and answer my prayer. In fact, maybe I can even change his mind. If he wanted to do one thing, I can change his mind because he'll see how sincere I am. How do you respond to it?
That's a recipe for never knowing if your prayer is going to be answered, because you never know if you're sincere enough. How much sincerity is enough sincerity? The Bible never focuses us on our sincerity. It focuses us on God's sincerity. God sincerely wants to give us good things. God is a heavenly Father who wants to give good things to his children, as Jesus tells us in the Gospels. And so it's not our sincerity that matters, but God's sincerity. And God is always much more sincere about his promises than we can ever be because of our fallen, sinful nature.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman tonight on Issues, Etc. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss the end times. Hank Hanegraaff of the Bible Answer Man will be our guest. Is the modern state of Israel the Israel in Bible prophecy? When it says Israel in those Old Testament prophecies, does it mean the 1948 state of Israel? When Christ returns, does he plan a secret rapture of Christians followed by 7 years of tribulation or a 1,000-year reign of Christ? We'll answer some of those questions next week on Issues, Etc. with Hank Hanegraaff of the Bible Answer Man. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the summer, check out our website. It's issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the homepage, be sure to find out about the continuing education programs being offered around the country this summer by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and their faculty. It's a great opportunity for both lay people and pastors to meet many of the guests that you hear here on Issues, Etc. For more information on these continuing education programs, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The number to remember, area code 260-452-2266, 260-452-2266, or check out our website, issuesetc.org. We're giving away Dr. Andrew Steinman's book, Prayer, Is God Listening?, to listeners with the best questions or comments tonight on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break. We're broadcasting live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. Day one of our Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour to Chicago. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or send us your email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Many Christians think that because the Old Testament Psalms are a collection of hymns and poetry from David and from other Old Testament poets, that the Psalms are really only about the lives of David and those other Old Testament figures. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Old Testament Psalms are also about Christ. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June is called Reading the Psalms with Luther. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused reading of the Old Testament Psalms, just as they were intended to be read. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find Reading the Psalms with Luther at our homepage, issuesetc.org. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
Dr. Arthur Just on how the Bible is taught at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, the central principle for us in interpreting scriptures is the Christological principle. That is, that we believe, as Jesus says in Luke 24, that all the scriptures speak about him. And that we study the scriptures and teach the scriptures with a focus on Christ. Now, this isn't only Christ who lived and died and rose again a long time ago, but also the fact that through the scriptures, through the living word of God that we hear in our churches, we hear preached, is the means by which Christ continues to be present with us today. And I think what is unique about exegetical theology at our seminary is that we focus not only on what the scriptures say, but how they continue to be the lifeblood of the church, because they are the means by which Christ is present to the church with his gifts. As Luther says, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you for letting me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 314-505-7825. Call today.
1 1 is 2, 2 2 is 4. I see my brother Jake coming through that.
Etc. Reformation Tour here in Chicago, broadcasting live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. Special thanks to Pastor Rosso for letting us take the service this morning, for me give the opportunity to preach here at Bethany Lutheran Church, and then for hosting us tonight for the national broadcast of Issues Etc. We're talking about prayer. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. Here's an email we received last week from Lauren in New Hampshire. She writes, First, I was just recently introduced to your podcast by my younger brother. I'm captivated. I mowed our entire lawn, about a five-hour job, with a push mower. That's pretty tough, Lauren. Listening to your program on my iPod, I'm feeling that for the first time I am really thinking about issues as they relate to my life and living my life for the Lord, Christ Jesus. I've used your sermon diagnostic at my church. I attend a UCC church in New Hampshire. And I'm appalled how rarely Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, is even mentioned. By the way, Issues Etc. is not just for Lutherans, she writes. I'm looking at two Lutheran churches in my area and praying that my husband will be open to the possibility of our changing denominations. Folks, please help support the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues Etc. Think about Lauren when you're doing that. By joining our Issues Etc. Reformation Club, it's our monthly or annual donor program. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our website, issuesetc.org. Stand with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. We were talking before the break about prayer and sincerity. Someone may have heard what you said, and where you said it really focuses, God's word focuses us on God's sincere desire to make his promises and keep his promises and answer our prayer, not on our sincerity. And they might say, well, does that mean if I just mouth empty words to God that he does not take into account whether I mean it or are thinking about it or whether I'm even my mind or my heart is engaged?
Of course not. We need to believe and we need to trust in his promises, or we wouldn't pray to begin with. But the point I was trying to make is we don't focus on the strength of our sincerity, the depth of our sincerity in prayer. When we do that, we're focusing on ourselves, and then we're not praying. Prayer focuses us on God and His sincerity. And so it's not that we don't need to be sincere. It's just that we don't focus on our faith. Faith just brings forth the desire to pray to God, even when we're not thinking about how sincere we are when we pray. Instead, faith brings forth the desire to focus on God's promises.
It seems to me that if I focus on the measure of my sincerity when I'm praying, and I'm checking that while I'm praying, I'm really focusing on myself in the midst of prayer, rather than on, as you have said repeatedly tonight, those external promises of God found in His Word that are certain and sure because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. When I think about my sincerity, it turns me in on myself, which is interesting because that was Martin Luther's definition of sin. When I'm turned in on myself, that's sin. When I'm turned toward God outside myself and His promises, that's faith. And so sincere faith doesn't turn in on itself and worry about how sincere it is. It turns outward to God and says, the God who loved me in Jesus Christ is never wrong, is never insincere. He always keeps His promises, and that's why I pray.
What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name?
It means to pray trusting in His promises and in His work, in His life, death, and resurrection. It means to trust that in Christ, the Heavenly Father was reconciling the world to Himself, and that includes each and every one of us who trust in Him and therefore are motivated to pray.
So it's really the same as praying in faith.
Exactly.
So praying in faith isn't just, I want something, I believe that God can give it to me, and I believe He will give it to me. Faith has an object, Jesus Himself, regardless of what we're asking for.
That's right. And the whole point of Jesus inviting us to pray is He's inviting us once again to lift ourselves out of our petty little concerns and look at the big concern of the Heavenly Father. Because any concern we have in this life, as heartfelt as they are, as big as they are, and we all know we have some very big things that happen in our lives we want to pray about, but as big as they are, they pale in comparison to the big love of God in Jesus Christ, which encompasses all our problems and which all will be resolved one day in Jesus and His eternal kingdom.
Another popular idea about prayer, and this is one that Christians probably wouldn't admit to if they thought about it, and that is, God is busy. He's got a lot of prayers to hear. And I'm not going to trouble Him with this little thing in my life or that little thing in my life. He's got bigger fish to fry and more important prayers to listen to and answer.
I think there's two problems with that. One is it's saying that I can have some type of false modesty about how little my concerns are. You know, if we have concerns, our Heavenly Father who loves us dearly wants to know about them. You know, even if we can use the analogy of a human parent, a human father or mother, if a child has a concern, they want to hear it, even though at times, you know, the children's concerns are really petty in the eyes of the parents. But a good parent wants to allay their children's fears, wants to take care of the things that ought to be taken care of. And our Heavenly Father is much better than any human parent. And I think the other problem is that reduces God to kind of a human level. We can only do one or two or three things. Most of us can't multitask beyond two or three things. But God, who is eternal, above all and in all and through all, is the ultimate multitasker. He can do all things at the same time. And so the idea that, you know, God's too busy is really reducing God, is not trusting that God is who He is. He promises that He is the God who has all things in His hands.
We're talking about prayer tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from Bethany Lutheran Church at 1550 Modaf Road in Naperville, Illinois. Day one of the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour to Chicago. You can give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's Sunday night, June the 10th. We want to hear from you on prayer, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Brad's calling from New Orleans, and he's listening on WSHO. Hi, Brad.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. On occasion, there has been sometimes where I have been awakened by the Holy Spirit. I can tell the difference between just waking up at night and that. My question is, when I'm brought to praise and worship the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings me to that, and I'm brought to prayer, and I want to focus, tend to focus on myself, and I know that the Lord wants us to pray for other things and other people, but I don't know how to differentiate between the two or what He is wanting me to pray for. And I was wondering if I could start off from where I recently left off in the Scriptures, or do I just open up the Bible and focus on what I find, or do I seek His help with that? I've kind of struggled with that a few times.
Brad, it's a great question. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in New Orleans. All right, Dr. Steinman, two questions I hear there. One is his concern about praying for others as opposed to only his own concerns. And the other is, how do you start? Where do you begin? How do you differentiate between those two? About 1 minute before we go to a break.
Well, I think both are good things to pray for. God wants us to pray for our concerns, but He also wants us to focus beyond our concerns on those around us, our fellow Christians, and even those who aren't Christians and their needs. I think the best thing there is to try to do both. I have my concerns. I will pray about those, that they're personal, but I also will remember to pray for my brothers and sisters who need also to have intercessions brought before the throne of God. The other thing is he asked about, you know, where do I start? Which passage of Scripture do I focus on? Well, throughout the Scripture, there's all kinds of things. I guess my recommendation there is obviously this is a person who's read the Scriptures and knows them, to say what Scripture passages are speaking to the concerns I have in prayer at this moment. I'm concerned about sickness. Well, maybe he knows three or four passages on sickness and health, and he should go to those. Whatever it is, I think that his prayer is about at that particular point in time, that's where he focuses the Word of God to bear on his prayer.
So again, it's the relationship between God's clear Word of God, God's clear Word to us in Scripture, and our prayer made to God on the basis of those promises. We're talking about prayer tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. 10 more minutes in this conversation and your phone calls right after this.
The faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is coming this summer to a city near you. It's part of the continuing education programs offered by Concordia Theological Seminary. Speakers include Issues Etc. regular guests Larry Rast, Carl Fikencher, Arthur Just, Peter Scare, and others. Find out about the continuing education programs sponsored by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for both laypeople and pastors. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. Law and Gospel in Today's Culture, Paul and His Opponents in Galatia, The Gospel of Mark, The Care of Souls, Christology in the Book of Revelation. These are just some of the topics. For more information on dates, locations, speakers, and topics, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2241, or look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What do? You point out a false teaching or a sinful behavior, and your friend responds, "Judge not, lest you be judged," or "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." How do you respond? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled, "Get Out of Jail Free," and we'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. The latest issue also contains an article titled, "The Jesus of Islam," by Dr. Adam Francisco. And in the Wittenberg Trail, you'll discover how a struggle with sin brought Pastor Jonathan Fisk back home to the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172.
Talking about prayer tonight on Issues Etc. By the way, caller Brad before the break from New Orleans had a question about where do you go in Scripture to have some guidance for your prayer life. We've got a great resource. In fact, a number of articles on prayer posted under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. Just go there, issuesetc.org, click What's New, and you'll find those resources on prayer right there. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We have a question from our audience here at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. What's your name and where are you from? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Dave from Woodridge, Illinois. I recently attended a talk on prayer, and they use scripture passages such as, "If you ask in my name, I'll give you anything you ask." So they didn't state it this way, but basically it came out as a formula to manipulate God into giving you whatever you wanted. What's the correct way to interpret those kinds of scripture?
Thank you very much. Often misinterpreted scriptures. How would you do it?
Well, I think you have to put that in the bigger context. That passage sounds like it's saying that when you pull it out. That's John 14, I believe, is what he's referring to. And there it's in the context of asking in faith. And the person who asks in faith asks as Jesus asked. Jesus always asked, "Not my will, but thy will be done," as he does in the Garden of Gethsemane that we talked about earlier. And so Jesus promises to give us whatever we need when we ask in faith. And our faith always trusts that God will give us the right thing. And sometimes we're like little children, you know, who ask for something and mom and dad know that wouldn't be good for them to have. And sometimes our Heavenly Father says that wouldn't be good for you to have. And so when we ask in faith, we always want our Heavenly Father not necessarily to give us what we want, but what is good for us. And we know He will always do that because He gave us His Son.
Ron listens in Temecula, California on the internet, and he writes us via email. Dr. Steinman, how can one respond with love and truthfulness when other believers take a mistaken approach to prayer? They say, for example, that they need us to pray for them and their concerns. They say strong prayer warriors make the church more effective for Christ. Even our pastor once said the congregation needs to pray about our stewardship. In order to get significant answers to prayer, must we fast and pray for many hours? Ron asks.
Well, we don't have to fast and pray. I'm going to be like Lutherans say, fasting and bodily preparation are indeed fine outward training. There's nothing wrong with training your body to go along with what your mind is doing. However, that doesn't mean that we're, again, manipulating God by our prayers, which this is getting back to. Instead, I think we need to say to ourselves and to those who have this problem, how do we get back to the cross of Christ? And you want to gently turn the conversation back to the cross of Christ, Jesus, His life, His death, and His resurrection as the beginning point in prayer. And Well, I find that most effective when having conversations with Christians who have some mistaken notions about prayer. Let's take the focus back to Jesus and off of what I'm doing and how great a prayer warrior I am or how great a prayer warrior someone else is, and let's put the spotlight back on Jesus. And then once the spotlight is there, we can then correct notions about prayer. Rather than getting in someone's face and saying you're wrong, I think you gently turn the conversation back towards Christ and Him, His work for us.
Another question from our audience.
Yes, I'm Jim from Naperville, Illinois. My question, Professor, is for you. You touched on earlier the number of people praying at one time. In a lot of broadcasting, you hear the theology about prayer chains and prayer warriors, and if we all join together in prayer, God is more likely to do something for us. Where does that idea come from?
I think that's a good question. I don't know for sure where that comes from, other than our old sinful Adam, who thinks that we can accomplish more by humanly putting out more effort. And of course, then more humans means more effort. But I think that also comes from the desire to ensure that someone gets something that we perceive that they need. Someone is suffering from a disease. Someone has a particular problem they need to overcome, and we sincerely desire to help them. And so we think if we band together. Now, I'm not against prayer chains. We should pray together. We should pray for one another. Those things are commanded in scriptures. But it's, again, not our effort that determines that we receive good things. It's God's effort that determines we receive good things.
Let's conclude this hour's conversation with you on prayer with the four words common to Christian prayer that cause perhaps the greatest amount of fear and anxiety when Christians pray them. Thy will be done. We pray this sometimes with our fingers crossed, sometimes more than just a pair of fingers crossed. What should the Christian, how can we take comfort in those words that Christ has given us to pray when we say them often with fear?
We need to look at the grand narrative of Scripture from the fall through to the resurrection. Everything was focused on God doing the absolute good for humanity in Jesus Christ. He gave the promise to Adam. He made sure in the Old Testament that promise would not fail but would come to fruition in Jesus Christ. When God's will is done, it never, ever leads us away from Him, but always leads us in the direction of our heavenly home with our heavenly Father, won for us by Jesus Christ. Does that mean there won't be some pain in our lives? No, there may be pain in our lives. And in fact, there always will be because of sin in this world. But it does mean that when God's will is done, it is better than anything we could ever imagine or desire. And when we trust that, we have no trouble. It's like the little child crossing the road with their parent, and they know if they have their hand in their parent's hand, that mom or dad is not going to lead them out in front of a truck and get them hit. They implicitly trust. When we pray, thy will be done, we know our Heavenly Father is not going to let us be hit by a spiritual truck.
Here's our mailing address and our phone number to receive a complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal, or you can partner with us by joining our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call that resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Scary words to utter. Thy will be done. Jesus instructs us to pray this way. This is how Jesus prays as well. Think about when he prayed those words. He was praying those words on the very eve of his suffering and his crucifixion and his death, and he knew it was coming. And yet he prayed, thy will be done. And he too prayed them with trepidation, fearing not the suffering. He embraced that with joy, but fearing what he would suffer at the hands of his Father because of our sins. He feared the punishment for our sins, and rightly so. But he went joyfully to the cross for us. Now Jesus said, "Thy will be done." And then he went, and he did it. He went as his Father willed, to bear the sins of the world, my sins and your sins, in his body at the cross, and to give his life as a ransom for all. So what do we conclude from this? That was God's will being done. Now, the next time you're afraid to pray, "Thy will be done," think about the fact that it was God's will that his Son suffer in your place and be abandoned in your place and be forsaken in your place so that you might not have to suffer what he suffered, or ever be abandoned by God or forsaken by him. The certainty of God's answer to your prayers rests entirely in Jesus Christ. And you need not fear to say, "Thy will be done," because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's will in everything is good. How do you know it? You're not rolling the dice when you say that. Don't worry. You know his will is good because his will culminates there at the cross and the death of his Son for you. It is the best thing God has ever done for you. We didn't pray for it, but he did it anyway for us. We didn't ask for it, but he did it because he loves us in Jesus Christ. And that's God's will. I'm Todd Wilkin. You folks listening to us on AM 1160 WYLL in Chicago, come out tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6 as we broadcast live from St. Paul Lutheran Church, 9035 Grant Avenue in Brookfield. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.